Christ shall rise. When we think of the trumpet, what do we think of? We think of our high school musicals or the bands or those big brass things. Actually, the exact translation is this. It is the shofar that is playing. The shofar that is proclaiming the coming of Jesus. Can you imagine hearing that sound and looking to the sky and Jesus is coming on his great white stallion to bring his church home? I also think about this sound because on Friday, when Jesus had breathed his last, the priest blew the shofar to say that and to proclaim that the sacrificial lamb had been slain on Passover. Can you imagine hearing that sound? And yet that was the last sound that was proclaimed when Jesus died. I'm going to go back a little bit. There we go. I want us to go to the book of Revelation today. And I want to talk about what we have to look forward to because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There actually was another time that the shofar is blown. The shofar is blown during the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee is every 50 years in the Israeli cycle, is a time when all debts were to be cleared out. That if you were a slave, you were set free. If you were a bond servant, you were set free. So every 50 years, it was to be a 50-year cycle in which freedom is to come. And at the beginning of that year of Jubilee, the priests stand and they blow the shofar, a sign and a sound of victory. We talked about a little bit in the first service where Chad went to the book of Revelation chapter 5. And in the book of Revelation chapter 5, there is a statement that is made. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Now you might be sitting here saying, so what? Well, let's put the two together. The year of Jubilee and those who had a debt, it was paid and or forgiven. And no longer are you a bound or you a slave to whatever that debt might be. But now you have freedom. On that Good Friday when Jesus hung on the cross, he paid a mighty debt for you, so that you could live eternally with God Almighty. And so that your debts of the past can be forgiven. And it is there no more. Now, I'm sure that many of you, the last couple weeks, have been constantly checking your bank account. And you've been looking for that stimulus package. How many of you have looked in your bank account for the stimulus? You all are liars. There we go. We got one person in this entire church that checked your... Two people. Somebody give me three. Let's be honest. Four. You all did. If you were eligible for that stimulus package, you looked for it because you wanted that gift that the government gave you. And when it came, you were excited. Now, we have the gift of salvation that is greater than any stimulus package that the United States government could ever give you, because it's a stimulus package that actually will last for eternity. And when you finally realize the full magnitude of what Jesus has done, you're going to be proclaiming, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Because God has given us victory. I want to go into the book of Revelation here. And I want us to look at some ultimate realities that come from the book of Revelation because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, there's a lot of truths that are found in the book of Revelation. Now, we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to start at Revelation chapter 1. We're actually going to go to the end of the book of Revelation, and we're going to go backwards. Okay? Because I want us to see what all is in there. Because the book of Revelation seems to go to a crescendo at the culmination of the end of the world, or end of the age. And so we start out by the greatest ultimate, or one of the great ultimates that are found in the book of Revelation. Because of the death and resurrection, and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will have an ultimate eternity of victory. Look at this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. It says, when 1,000 years is over, this is after the millennial reign, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them for battle. And in number, they are like the sand of the seashore, and they march across the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Now, here's the ultimate victory. You ready? Verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, or lake of sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. And he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So what's the ultimate victory here? The devil who is causing all this stuff that we're dealing with in our nation and in our world will finally be cast out and will be finally put into the lake of sulfur, where he will be there for eternity and he will never bother the people of God ever again. That is the ultimate victory. And we see that in the book of Revelation. However, let's go back further. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, there is also an ultimate victory, or ultimate reality. Everyone will stand in the presence of God someday. Everyone will stand in the presence of God. I was telling someone today that one of my favorite movie quotes actually comes from Star Wars, and it comes from Yoda. You're saying, Yoda? Yeah, Yoda. Do you remember when Luke Skywalker was with Yoda and he was being trained by Yoda and he was going to this cave of darkness and Luke Skywalker says, I'm not afraid. And Yoda, remember what he said? He goes, you will be. You will. How many of you remember that? I'm the only one. I'm going to tell you, that has stuck with me. And I have thought about that many a times. When people come up to me and they say, you know, Pastor, I refuse. I will never bow down. I will never, I will never believe in the existence of God. I will never. Really? I always think of Yoda. Because everyone will stand in the presence of Almighty God. And Yoda going, you will. You will. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. The dead, everyone. Everyone that has ever existed will be in the presence of Almighty God. Mother Teresa. A Hitler. A Mao Zedong, Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, Darwin, Charles Darwin, and Polly, and Everyone will stand in the presence of Almighty God. And it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. Notice what it says in verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. You're saying, what does this have to do with Easter? Very simple. Jesus provided the way by which we can have our names written in the book of life. It is our responsibility to say, yes, I accept your way, not my way, but thy way. So everyone will stand before the throne of Almighty God. So then, in Revelation chapter 21, there's an ultimate restoration. Look at what it says in verses 1 through 5. Because everything will come new. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I love this passage, because I always think of the day when the doors opened and Polly was coming down the aisle of the Lakeview United Brethren Church, and she had prepared herself to be with her husband. And I think about this in relation to us. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. And what are we doing here on this earth? But we are preparing ourselves to be in the presence of the groom. And then verse 3, and it says, and I heard a loud voice from throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It's been 2 years since we've been able to gather together on Easter Sunday morning here. A lot has happened in those 2 years. There's been a lot of joy and there's been pain. There has been crying and sorrow. What it says here is when we stand in the presence of God, the pain will no longer be there because he will wipe every tear from our eye. There's no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. The old order is gone. And what we see happening in our cities around the world, and we see happening in Portland, we see happening in Seattle, we see happening in Minneapolis, we see happening in Fort Wayne or Salina, and all the pain that's associated all boils down to sin. But we know that when the old order is gone, sin will be no more, and everything will be new. Everything will be new because of what? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is an ultimate warning, and that is found in Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 through 8. He said, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I give water without a cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But to the cowardly, unbelieving, vile, murderers, sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. See, God made us as eternal beings. We, all of us, every one of us will live for eternity. There is no such thing as annihilationism. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Easter gives us the hope of heaven. And it gives us the hope of heaven by coming to God based upon His standards and not ours. And so He comes out and says, listen, you can't keep living the life that you've always lived. You need to give your life totally to God and to Jesus. And then there's an ultimate victory. Go to Revelation chapter 7. What happened? Ultimate praise. Am I going backwards? I don't know what happened, but it's a good one. Okay, the next one is an ultimate salvation, ultimate victory. Salvation is available to all the nations. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Okay. I want you to do something when you get home. I got a homework assignment for you. I did it yesterday. It was fun. Get on YouTube. And I want you to look up worship and look up worship from around the world. And you got the worship of people just... And you got the worship of the of those in the European cathedrals where you hear the echoing, you know, the singing through the echo. And then you go to Africa and you start looking at their worship, you know, and they're just dancing away. I mean, they're getting into it. All right, yeah, okay. And then you go to South America and they might have the trumpets blaring while they're worshiping. I found a gal. I was going to download it and show it to you, but I knew we wouldn't have time. But some gal in Kenya, and she was praising God. Oh, what a beautiful voice she had. Then you go down to maybe Australia and look at the Aborigines as they're worshiping God. And then you look at Asia, and you look at Bangladesh since I've been there, and some of the worshiping that's happening there. All different types of worship, but they're worshiping. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the day when I stand in the presence of Almighty God and I see Jesus over there and I turn around and I see all the different types of worship that are given to God. You think you're going to be bored in heaven? No way. You're going to be seeing all these different types of worship that are going to be given up to God. You're going to see people who are going to be singing praises and going to be proclaiming praises and going to be dancing praises. And you can see all this praises happening. Why? Because of the salvation that was given to us and the death through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you recognize where you were headed and now you see where you are at, you're going to be able to do nothing but praise Him. Now there's ultimate praise. See if I got this right. There we go. Ultimate praise. When we realize where we were headed, and now we recognize where we are, we can do nothing but praise Him. Revelation chapter 5. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000s, and they encircled the throne. And the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Then I heard, what does it say? Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea. And all of them sang. I love this. This is one of my favorite passages. I know I've shared it with you before, but I think of the mighty blue whale. You know, I know I said this before, but I think of the mighty blue whale who stops and bows in the sea. Worthy! I think of the little ant. You know that little ant that goes over your toes and gets you so frustrated? And it stops and goes, worthy! I mean, you can think of all these different animals that are out there. And it says every creature. Every creature. How many of you this morning heard the birds singing? How many of you heard the birds singing? Every creature, the birds are singing praises, and the mighty elephants, they're singing praise, and the lions are sitting down with the lamb, and they're praising God, all because of the lamb. All because of the lamb. And it says, to him who sits on the throne, and to the lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. You know, if you don't like worship, if you don't like worship, you're going to be very, very bored in heaven. If you don't like noise, you're going to be very disappointed in heaven. I try to imagine it. I try to imagine the thousands upon thousands of angels that are proclaiming the glory to the Lamb who was slain. And then the saints that are surrounding the throne, they're giving praise to the Lamb. And how loud and noisy that'll be. I mean, it'll make a Super Bowl game seem like a soap opera. Think about this. I want you just to imagine standing in the presence of Almighty God. What is the first words that'll come out of your mouth? I've heard people at times say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this question. No, you won't. You'll be in such awe, and you'll be in so thankful that God gave you the privilege to be able to come and to be able to be with us, be with Him forever and ever. Can you imagine that? I have a song that we're going to be playing right now. I always get it wrong, the name of it. I always call it Agnus Dei, but I guess it's Agnus Dei. Dei. What's the name of that song? Anybody know? What? What? Agnus Dei? We're going to do that song. And while we're doing that, I want you to feel free to come forward. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you a piece of cloth. And we're also going to be putting these tables in the middle of the aisles as well. And what we want you to do is I want you to think about what you think the first word that comes out of your mouth might be when you see Jesus face to face. And while we're doing this, we need to... We're going to bring the cross down here. But what we're going to do is, once you write that down, we want you to put it on the cross. Okay? Then, while we're doing this, we're going to be playing the song Agnus Dei. And it's from Michael W. Smith. And the Michael W. Smith song is with the Dallas Baptist Choir. And it's the best one I found because it has like 200 members that are singing. And I think about that. That's nothing compared to the thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s and millions and maybe even billions of creatures that are going to be surrounding the throne, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and praise." So while this song is playing, feel free to come forward. Take a strip of paper. Write the first word you think that might come out of your mouth when you see Jesus face to face. That is the best song I ever sang in my life.
Thank you. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus.
He came to love, heal and forgive.
He lived and died to buy my pardon.
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because He lives, all fear is gone.
Because I know and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown. Cross, I will ever be true. It's shame.
The song that is sung in Revelation chapter 5 is a song that honors our redemption and the price that was paid. It's a song that honors the work of redemption. It's a song that honors the destination of our redemption. It's a song that honors the payment of our redemption. It's a song that honors the scope of our redemption, because every nation, salvation is available to every nation. It's a song that honors the length of redemption, because the whole process started as soon as Adam and Eve had sinned. It's a song that all honors the result of redemption. The result is sin will be no more. If you do not know Jesus, we want you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'd invite you to turn in your bulletins at the upper left corner. This is salvation plan and how you can give your life to Jesus. If you'd like to do that, feel free to talk to me or even one of the elders of the church, and we'd be glad to pray for you. We'd love to have you part of the family of God so you can stand in the presence of Jesus to say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Let us pray. And Father, we come at this time and we do pray for each and every person here. Help us to look forward to the day in which we can stand in your presence and say, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We thank you in Jesus' name.
Well, if you will stand with us, we're going to close this morning. It's such a wonderful, exciting. There's excitement. When I think of the empty grave, the empty tomb, I'm excited because I think how incredible of a miracle, how incredible that God did that. And the God that raised Jesus from the grave is still working miracles today. And this song is, when we get into it, it's a perfect reflection of that promise. So as we sing this, as we close our celebration service this morning, just go with that promise. Go with that excitement in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the grave, that he has left the tomb empty and bought our sin. That is our salvation. That is our promise that we find.
Oh, shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifted me from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant, he's always telling me to run. Oh, love is a resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna take my giants down.
There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh.
There was a battle, a war between death and life. And there on the tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell, and he brought back every key. And he rose up as a lion, and he set all the captives free. There ain't no grave gonna hold his body down. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. When he heard that trumpet sound, he rose up out of the ground. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. There ain't no grave could hold his body down.
Amen.
And I want to personally thank all who were involved today in the program, those who fed us, those who sang with us, who led us in singing, and everything else. What a wonderful day to be able to come back after 2 years and just to worship the Lord. So let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this day. May your blessing be upon us. And may everything that we do bring you glory and honor. Let us look forward to the day when we can stand in your presence and just say thank you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, leave the chairs. You don't have to move them today.
There ain't no grave could hold his body down. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. When he heard that trumpet sound, he rose up out of the crowd. There ain't no grave could hold his body down. There ain't